Get ready to change your business and your life with the Adam Stott Business Model. My rules to how I do business. Hello, and my name is Adam Stott, and if you are listening to me for the first time, then I'm very honoured to meet you, and I can't wait to help you get new, exciting results in your business, just the way I have done for so many business owners, you know, across the country and other countries as well. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about the Adam Stott business model, and that is my 40 step-by-step rules to how I do business. Now, these rules have guided me again and again to make the right decisions, and I hope that you take every rule into your business game so you can start getting better results, which I know that you deserve, I know that you want, and let's make sure that we show you how to do that. Now, the first few rules are going to be about starting out. When you start out in your business, what are the right things to do? How can you make sure that you limit mistakes, and how can we make sure that you limit mistakes? And that's what we're going to be doing first of all. But as we go along, we're going to be getting into some key business principles and lessons that I know are going to add so much value to you. So make sure that you stay all the way through so you can listen to all the rules, and I can really help you to start to grow your business, grow your profits, and create more wealth in your life. So let's start off, let's kick off with rule number one: get proof of concept. Now, what do I mean by get proof of concept? What I mean is, when you're starting out in business, it's very, very important that you get proof that your product or service will sell. Now, perfection is often gone after by so many people. Before I launch, I want it to be perfect. I want my website to be perfect. I want to make sure that every last tweak is perfect, because when I launch, it's going to blow up. Well, I've got bad news for you. That isn't always the case. Sometimes we need to make sure that we get our products or service out there, we get clients, we get customers, we get paying customers, and we know that our product or service is wanted or needed in the marketplace. And once we've done that and we've got clients that are paying for our product or service, we can continually improve it, we can make it better, we can add more value to our clients, and we can start to scale the business. But if you don't get proof of concept and you spend all your time perfecting, you know, your new product or service before it goes out to market, I'm afraid you're going to be wasting a lot of valuable time. And especially if you've got a revolutionary product, you've got something really cool that you know is going to thrive and grow, all the time that you're preparing and you're not going to market, you're giving competitors and other people the opportunity to start out and get an edge on you, which we don't want to do. We want to make sure that your business thrives, and in order to do that, we need to get proof of concept, we need to get our product out, we need to get paying customers for our product straight away. So make sure, no matter what, you get proof of concept. So, rule number two: you've got proof of concept, you've got some paying customers, you've got people that think your product's cool. It's not your mum, your nan, or your dad saying that this is the coolest product in the world. It's paying customers that you've added value to. What we need to do now is rule number two: you need to find marketing routes that produce. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we've got to make sure that we market our product or service in the best way possible. And the best way to do that, first of all, is by testing. Rather than going out and spending huge amounts of money on a flyer drop or a PPC campaign or SEO or Facebook or whatever it may be, we need to test. We need to find a route that produces. We need to understand what is the cost per lead. How much do we need to spend in marketing, pounds, euros, or dollars, to get a lead back? And that is our cost per lead. And then out of those leads, how many do we convert? And that is our cost per sale, and that's what I want you to monitor. And then once we've got a solid cost per lead, we know that we can test and we can increase our spend in those areas to get more leads. So make sure you're testing, make sure you're measuring on cost per lead and cost per sale, cost per acquisition is also known as. We need to also create lead funnels that have the ability to grow our product or service or our company. And a lead funnel is essentially information that helps people get an idea about who we are, what our product or service is, and we can educate them and use education-based marketing to help them grow with us, to understand more about us, and position them and get them to buy into our product or service. So make sure that you've got proper lead funnels in place. Make sure you're measuring cost per lead, cost per sale. Make sure you're testing. Now, I also want you to have campaigns. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I don't want you to just use email marketing. I don't want you to just use Facebook. I don't want you to just use direct mail. I want you to launch campaigns that work together and work in tandem with each other to create results. So that might mean we've got a Facebook campaign, but we mirror that to an email that goes out to our clients afterwards, which allows them to see our message twice, to understand it through a different channel, and these campaigns go out, hit our clients, and ensure that they really become accustomed to what we do. I also want you to think about who is your best buyer. What I mean by best buyer is who is the ideal type of client that you want to acquire for your business. Now, if you can find the ideal client, that ideal client will attract you more ideal clients as well, because, you know, like attracts like. They're going to know other people like themselves. They're going to purchase your products or service. They're going to be in the capacity to be able to pay you for your products or service. So don't just go out there with a machine gun and target your marketing efforts everywhere. Let's go a bit more targeted. Let's find our best buyers and make sure that we're communicating to them in a language that resonates. So what I mean by that is, if we've got young people, let's talk to them in a younger language. If we've got older, more professional, corporate, B2B buyers, let's talk to them in that language. Whatever is going to resonate with our best buyers, that's the language we need to be using in our marketing. So rule number three, client service runs through the company's veins. Now, I hope that you take this principle to heart, because it is everything. The more you look after your clients, the more they will look after you. They'll look after your referrals. They'll look after your repeat business. They'll look after your profits. So make sure that you are looking after your clients. Make sure that client service forms a large part of your culture. And what I mean by that is everyone in your organization, whether you're large, whether you're small, whatever size you are, understands that treating the customer like king is the priority. And look, I know things go wrong, I know issues come up, but deal with complaints and issues swiftly. Never let issues dwell or become out of control. And I don't know who said, I think actually Bill Gates said this, that the best source of learning is in your complaints department. Make sure you keep an eye on what is the feedback you're getting. Why are people complaining? What are the issues? And go about and fix those issues, because your reputation is everything. It's all you have in today's market, and you need to make sure your reputation, your brand, your great service is always improving, to make sure that your clients understand that your culture is client service is running through your company. Running through your company's veins, client service is king and is key. So look after your clients and watch your business thrive. So rule number four, create advocates early. Now, an advocate is similar to somebody that is a raving fan, somebody that loves your business, that wants to shout from the rooftops about how amazing your business is. And what we need to do is we need to be on an ongoing basis, making sure that we are cultivating raving fans, supporters of our products or service, that want to go out there, that want to spread the word for you. The more you create advocates early, the better your business is going to grow, the more organically it will grow. So make sure that you understand how to create advocates. And I'll give you couple of tips on that now. Talk to your clients. Tell them that you're looking for referrals. Tell them that you want to meet more people like them. Tell them that you're open to referrals. Come up with referral strategies to make sure that they're bringing new people to you, and make sure that you are wowing your clients on an ongoing basis. And also make sure you provide value for money. You know, in the business world today, the more value you create for your clients, the more value you're going to receive back in referrals, in repeat business, in client testimonials, reviews, etc. So make sure you love your clients and they will love you. Rule number five, recruit from outside your circle. Okay, so this might be a little bit controversial, but I can tell you, in my business, I've been in business for 10 years, I've got multiple different businesses, and recruiting from outside my circle has always been a very, very good thing for me. When I've brought family, friends, close friends into my business, there is, you know, it creates issues, and it can really make sure that you get into a downward spiral in your business. So look outside your circle, bring in quality people, look for the skills that you need in your business, and never, ever, ever, ever employ anybody you're not prepared to fall out with, because in business there will be disagreements, and if you're the business owner and you're you're in charge of the business, you need to look after your own destiny. You're making the decisions to shape your future. And if you've got somebody that is not in line with what you're thinking or disagrees with your decision, and you can't have a strong conversation with them for fear that, you know, oh, if I have a strong conversation with them, I'm going to be in the position where, you know, they don't like me anymore. We're not going out Saturday night, whatever it might be. So make sure you don't employ anybody that you're not prepared to have a strong conversation with, or that you're prepared to fall out with. Because guess what? People also make mistakes. If you've got a family member, a friend, or a colleague in your business, and they're starting to work there, and they make a huge mistake, you know, God forbid they make a huge mistake, and you've got to let them go out of your business, what is that going to do to your friendship? You might think, well, they'd understand. Let me tell you from experience, they don't always understand. And business can mean the end of friendships. I want you to succeed in business. I don't want you to have the stress or the pain that I went through in my business. So follow this rule and make sure you recruit from outside your circle. So rule number 6, make decisions based on logic, not emotion. Now, emotional decisions are almost never right. And at times in business, we will make emotional decisions. And look, of all the decisions I've made in the 10 years I've been in multiple different businesses, my emotional decisions are the ones that have caused me the most distress. They've, you know, making decisions from a place of anger or emotional distress will cause you problems. So what we need to do is we need to be logical, okay? We need to make decisions from a calm position. We need to make them objectively. And when I say logically, we need to be making decisions based on the numbers. We need to be making decisions based on our performance and the results of the organization. So when it comes to making a decision, I really want you to, first and foremost, don't trust your gut. People out there saying, trust your gut. Now, someone like Alan Sugar says, trust his gut. What he means is trust his experience. He's been in business 40, 50 years. He's got lots and lots of experience in business. And of course, he's got very good gut, because his decisions are based from experience, not from his gut. If you're starting out in business, let's trust the numbers rather than our gut, because if we get it wrong, it's going to cause us issues. So make sure we're making logical decisions. We look at our numbers. If we're going to have to release someone from our business for performance, let's have a good look at the numbers. Let's look at their performance on an ongoing basis. Let's see if they are worthy of keeping based by the numbers, not based off whether they like someone or they upset Sally or Sue in the business or whatever it might be. Performance is key, results are key, numbers are key, and return on investment is key. When making marketing decisions, don't just say, well, I think that flyer drop went really well. Let's make sure that we got tracking numbers on our flyers and we can see exactly how many phone calls came in from our flyers. Or let's make sure that we're monitoring our Facebook ads and we know what our cost per lead is, whether we decide whether this ad performs well or not. It doesn't matter if you like the ad or whether you like the flyer or whether you like the letter you've sent out. It doesn't matter. What matters are the results. So let's make our decisions based on the logic of the results, the numbers, the performance, the return on investment. But when it does come to decision making, I also want to point out that you need to make decisions as quickly as possible. And a good way to manage your decisions is to have a think about what is the very best thing that can happen if you make the decision and you decide to go ahead, what is the most likely thing that can happen, and what's the worst thing that can happen. And if there is a terrible thing that can happen from making this decision, maybe you want to, you know, hold on and not make it. If there's great results can come from this, but very little downside, then let's do that as well. Okay, let's make that decision. You've always got to protect the downside and make your decisions from a place of logic. So, number 7, go it alone or have the controlling interest. Now, partnerships in business, you know, for very different reasons, can fail a lot. And I want you to be very careful if you're entering into a partnership, because, you know, in people's lives, things change, things happen. All of a sudden, something that seemed like a good idea when you went into the partnership in the beginning, you know, something changes in your life or that other person's life, and all of a sudden that partnership is not going to bring you the same return as you expected it to do. So make sure when you're going into a partnership, if you can, have the controlling interest, because you're obviously somebody that's listening to this for a reason. You want to be successful. You want to get that more wealth in your life. You're going to be somebody that's confident, that wants to grow, that wants to learn from the right people. And if you're letting somebody make 50-50 decisions, or you can't breathe and make a decision without somebody else's approval, unless they're singing off exactly the same hymn sheet, which is very rare, it's going to be very, very difficult for you. So let's make sure if we're going into a partnership, we have the control and interest. Otherwise, this makes sure when we do get a partner, we look for an A player. There's A players, there's B players, and there's C players. I don't know whether you've listened to my first book, The 10 Key Reasons That Businesses Fail, but I explained that in great detail. You might want to go and check that out as well, which is also on www.adamstott.com. But I speak about the fact that an A player is, you give them a task, they go over and above, they achieve amazing results. You give a B player a task, they just about get it done or just narrowly hit the target. You give a C player a task and they don't produce the result that they were meant to. You do not want to partner with C players. Test those partners out. Somebody wants to go into business with you, set them some challenges, give them some objectives to go and meet. And if they go and they blow you away, you might have an A player. A player partnerships obviously are going to be a lot more successful than partnering with B players or C players. But let's make sure that we try and get the controlling interest. There is a little bit of a counter to the argument when it comes to company investments. Obviously, if you're investing in a company and you're investing in an A player, quite often you won't have the controlling interest. That's fine. Just do your due diligence. Make sure you do a deep dive on that business if you're going to give an investment to that business. So rule number 7, go it alone or have the controlling interest. Okay, rule number 8. Study the industry. This sounds obvious, but too many people go into an industry. They see somebody, they think, oh, they've done well, or this is going to work. You know, I can see this happening in my industry without really understanding it. And it's so much easier to create success in a business or an industry that you understand. Now, if you don't understand the industry you're going into, get coaching. Get coached by someone that does understand it. You can save yourself from making so many mistakes. If I'm going into a new industry, I make sure that I've got a coach or a strong partner with me having the controlling interest of somebody that's going to add value and help make sure that I succeed in that business, and I recommend you do the same. Some ways that you can make sure you study the industries: make sure that you read the trade magazines, make sure you go to the conferences, study marketing initiatives, make sure you study the competition. Let's know the top 50 in your field, and let's make sure we monitor, model, and implement their ideas. We all know success leaves clues, and if you're smart and you're a smart business owner, because obviously you're listening to this audio, you're taking notes, you're getting value from it, that means you're a smart business owner. You will do your due diligence. You will know the top 50 in your field. And my challenge to anybody listening to this right now is, do you know who the top 50 in your field are? Good question, whether you can answer that question or not. If you don't, go and get the knowledge. Go and have a look at the top 50 players, look at their website, see what they're doing, and let's bring that into your game. Let's make sure you improve. Let's make sure you find the new ideas, okay? So the only counter to that is conceptual learning, and cross-pollination is very, very important. And what I mean by that is bring in other ideas from other industries into your business. Something that works in another industry can create explosive results in your industry. And look, I want you to succeed. I want you to get explosive new results in your business. So make sure if you see something in another industry that works very well, let's put it into your game, let's adapt your business, and make sure that you get those results too. Rule number 9, model industry champions. Now, we talked about understanding the top 50. We talked about your competition, but every industry has powerhouses. We need to study what they do. We need to know about their journey. We need to know about their key people. We need to know about their business structure. What is it they've done to create those results? Why are they getting market share and you're not? Some of the massive, massive successes that they've had will be obvious for you to see. You know, speaking to people that work in that business or have been in that business and meaning to understand what they do will be very important to you. You can always use the mystery shop function. Make sure you go out, you mystery shop your competition, you understand what they do. You can get to know their sales pitch. You can get to know their processes. You can start to be aware of the potential clients that they'll be saying that they'll be selling, and you'll be seeing them during your visit, and you can gain the upper hand, and you can start to understand how to attract new clients to your business. So make sure that you model the industry champions, you know who the powerhouses are, and you go out there, you get that information, and you rule in your business. Rule number 10, know the competition, but only compete with yourself to become the best. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. Back when I was selling cars, before I had my businesses, and I've got car businesses still, as well as many other businesses, one thing that when I was selling cars, I always wanted to make sure that I had beat the number 2. I wanted to be number 1 month in, month out. I never wanted to be beaten. Now, the problem is I was always number 1, but what if number 2 had a bad month? Did that mean I only did a little bit and I just beat them? Or what if number two had a fantastic month? Did I just work hard enough just to make sure I had my head in front of the finish line? You know, no, this is why I want you to focus on yourself. I want you to focus on yourself. I want you to compete against yourself. I want you to continue to beat your numbers month in, month out, year in, year out. I want you to be the best you that you can possibly be. I want you to be so committed to improvement that you'll continue improving. You're always improving. You're always looking for better results. So it's important to know your competition. It's important to model your competition. It's important to take key elements of their game and bring it into your business. But what's more important is that you know that you can always grow. You can always be better. You're always competing against yourself. And you're always improving your clients' moments. You're creating new USPs for your business, unique selling points, and you focus on your business, you focus on yourself to make sure that you can be the best that you deserve to be. So, rule number 11, you need to invest in yourself. If you're not investing in yourself on an ongoing basis, you are making a mistake. It is so important if you want your business to grow that you need to grow as well. If you do not grow on an ongoing basis, your business will outgrow you, and we don't want that to happen. When a business outgrows you, you get to a point of stress, of fear. You don't know what the right decision is. You don't know whether to make this decision, that decision, because you're afraid of what will happen. But if you're continually growing on an ongoing basis, that won't happen to you. If you've got weaknesses in your game, you need to sharpen up. You need to make sure that you become great at marketing. You need to be sure that you become a great at cash flow, at accounts. Every part of business needs to be your school, your university, where you learn the keys to make sure that you succeed. So make sure you're investing in yourself. If you haven't had coaching, experience coaching. Get to understand what coaching can do for you. It's a transference of knowledge. It's somebody with more experience than you that is going to coach you and help you and solve problems that come up in your business time and time again. It's going to save you money. It's going to improve your game. It's going to round you off as a better business owner. And coaching is so, so important. Since I've had coaching in the last 5 years, my businesses have grown immeasurably. My business has grown up to 846%. In the last 4 years, one of my businesses. Other businesses I've took from nothing to millions in under a year because I was coached on the industry. I understand what the right moves are and I've really got those results. Now I want to make sure that you get the same results. So don't overlook investing in yourself. Whether that is coaching, reading books, attending courses, whatever it might be, make sure you invest in yourself. One thing that's been a key principle that's helped me to become more successful is to make sure that quarterly, no matter what, I am on a course, I am sharpening my mind, I'm making sure that I'm learning from the best and I'm getting more information that's going to help me grow. I'd encourage you to do exactly the same. And if you can do it monthly, then even better. You know, once a month, if you can't take a day out of your business to work on your business, to get new growth, new gains, and new motivation, then you need to be asking your question, are you serious to succeed in business? I want you to succeed. Make sure you invest in yourself. The best investment you can ever make is in yourself. You cannot lose. It's something that will always stay with you, that you'll always retain, and you'll be the person that continues to get those gains. Rule number 12, never stop improving as a business owner. Now, it comes down a bit to rule number 11, invest in yourself. But rule number 12 is, it's a basic, but if you want to be an elite business owner, you need to have a well-rounded game. You need to make sure that you understand all aspects of business. There are so many aspects in business. Yes, there's marketing. Yes, there's sales. Yes, there's accounting. There's cash flow. You've got to know it all. And if you don't understand it, you've got to make sure that you go out there and you get the knowledge so you do. Yes, you're going to have accountants that work with you on your business, but you've got to understand the numbers. You've got to understand what they mean when they talk to you about gearing ratios and when they talk to you about your profit and loss, and they talk to you about your budgets and your budget variances. If you don't understand this, you need to, because I want you to be a super success. I want to see you climb the business mountain to create everything that you want in your life, to get that wealth. And if you want to get it, you've got to understand the game that you're playing. Business is an intellectual sport, and I want you to win in this game of business. So make sure that you never stop improving as a business owner. And that's rule number 12. Rule number 13, you have to have a coachable mindset. What I mean by having a coachable mindset is that you need to understand if there are people out there that are more successful than you, or there are people out there that are creating results that you want, you have to be willing to listen and willing to learn. If you sometimes are saying, I know that, or I did that and it didn't work, then you need to think, you know, think of it like this. If you went out and you had a relationship with a lady or a man or whatever, and you know, it didn't work and you stopped there, you'd never end up getting married, you'd never end up having children. And it's exactly the same when it comes to coaching and having a coachable mindset and making sure things work for you. You need to make sure that not only do you listen to the right advice, that you get the right content, that you implement quickly, that you're serious about success. Now, my challenge to you would be, learn something every day. Look to exceed your expectations by getting new knowledge that's going to inspire you to increase your success. So take advice, but take advice for the right people. Don't take advice for people that are less successful than you. You know, there are so many people out there that are coaches, that are trainers, that are so-called gurus, but they've never had a business before. If they haven't had a business and you're taking advice from them on an ongoing basis, you know, I fear for you, because they're not going to have been in the situation that you will find yourself. So make sure you seek out people that have got proper business experience that can help you, proper experience of creating wealth, whether it be in business, whether it be in property, whether it be in their life, and make sure you find the right mentors, coaches, and role models, and listen to their advice and implement it if you want to maximize your results. Now, rule number 14, very important rule. Invest in people that will take your business to the next level. Now, you might have heard the phrase, pay peanuts, get monkeys. Now, let me tell you, don't be afraid to invest in top quality people. Top quality people will grow your business. They'll make you money. They'll bring new clients into your business. They'll bring new processes or procedures that allow you to save time, have a better impact. So don't be afraid to bring top people in. Top marketing people will drive your business, get you new leads, get you new sales. Top salespeople will convert your sales better, and they will pay for themselves. Top accounts people will stop your business from being exposed. They'll save you money. So investing in people is key. And every business, as you grow, is going to need a management structure. So make sure that if you're not a great manager, or your business is getting to the point where you're finding yourself too overwhelmed, maybe you need to bring a manager into your business to help manage in the day-to-day, so you can go out and grow the business even more. But let me tell you, investing in top people is the second best investment you'll ever make. And if you've been listening, which I think you have, you would know that the first best investment you can make is in yourself. The second best investment you can make is in top people. So make sure on an ongoing basis you're bringing top people into your business. Rule number 15 is, make decisions based from the numbers. We spoke earlier about logic, but as you grow in your business, numbers are going to become more and more important. And business is a numbers game, and accounts are the scorecard. If you are not making profit, my friends, I'm afraid that you're losing. We need to make sure we have a profitable business. There's two ways to make sure that our profits increase. We either increase the top line, we create more sales, we create more income, or we decrease the bottom line and we save our costs. But make sure you're continually looking at both. You've got a great understanding of your numbers. You need ongoing management information to make correct decisions. So you want your monthly management accounts on a timely basis, so you can see what has happened in the business in the last month. You do not want to be waiting till the end of the year to see a set of accounts and learn that you didn't make money last year. That's a whole year. We can't afford as business owners to go one year to the next not understanding what our results are. So make sure you get the numbers. The numbers tell the story. They're the stats, the trends, the sources, the return on investment that allows you to make better decisions, you know. And if you're looking at numbers, it's easier to make tougher calls. And making tough calls is very, very important in business. The more you make tough calls, the more you're going to succeed. And look, I'll leave you with this on this rule. Business is a game, it's an intellectual sport, and it should be played that way. And the numbers are your scorecard. You need to listen to the scorecard, make the correct decisions, and make sure you make your decisions based from the numbers. So, rule number 16, have a delegation-based business model. What do I mean by a delegation-based business model? What I mean is, every single activity, you should be looking for ways to delegate it. A business that runs profitably without your involvement day-to-day is a great business. Now, when you're starting out, it's not always that way. You've got to be the butcher, the candlestick maker, and the shop seller. And at the end of the day, I understand that it's going to be like that in the beginning, but as you grow, as you bring key people in, you need to be looking to delegate your responsibilities. You need to be getting managers and top people to look after, you know, your marketing department, your accounts department, your sales department, whatever it may be, to make sure that you're getting the right results. So delegation is easy when you have top people. Delegation is very, very hard when you don't have top people. But that's why you get managers. You get a top manager, you delegate the tasks get implemented, you get the gains, you keep improving. So be honest and straight about your expectations with people. Be honest and straight with people when your expectations are not met. And when people start to encourage, you know, encourage people when they start to exceed your expectations, when they start to, you delegate a task, it comes back, it's done brilliantly, let's say congratulations. You delegate a task and it comes back badly, it's not done right, be honest and straight. That isn't what I expected. You know, make sure you give the correct information, ask them if they had the correct information, and address it. Don't delegate tasks and forget about it. Don't delegate tasks and don't get your managers to chase it up. Have a formula in place that you delegate a task, you make sure that task is followed up and implemented, and your delegation-based business will continue to grow. Your business will continue to produce great results. So, rule number 17, create laser focus for the business. Now, laser focus is when everybody, no matter what position they're in, have a clear focus on what their role is, what their responsibilities are. Make sure that you've got job descriptions for everybody in your business. They know what they're there to be undertaking. Make sure that they're continuing improving and make sure they've got a focus on getting results. It doesn't matter whether they're in sales or not. It doesn't matter what position they're in their business. They need to get results, and everybody should have KPIs on their performance, and that's key performance indicators. It doesn't matter whether you've got someone in accounts, you need to make sure that their management accounts come in on time or their bank reconciliation is up to date. It doesn't matter where they are, they need to be KPI'd on their job. And this is brilliant for the individuals working within your businesses anyway, because everybody should know what a great job looks like. And if they don't know what a great job looks like, then we get to the painful point where people think they're doing a great job, and then you might have to let somebody go and they're like, oh my God, I'm confused, I thought I was doing great. That's because the laser focus is not there. The exact, you know, expectations have not been set. And it's very important that you set the expectations in the business. You get everyone laser focused on doing their job and creating great results. Rule number 18. Create repeat purchasing opportunities. Now, for those of you that have seen me live, whether you've been on to one of our Business Master events, a Sales Mastery event, a Wealth Life event, a How to Make It Big in Business event, you will hear me talk about repeat business. And repeat business is very, very important because it's 8 times easier to retain an existing client than it is to get a new one. A lot of people don't understand that they're sitting on a gold mine. They've got this huge database of clients that know them, that know the brand, that trust the brand, and they're not communicating with them on an ongoing basis. So I want you to know that you should have a repeat business strategy in your business. If you don't have a repeat business strategy in your business, I want you to make sure that you write it down, you take a note. That is something you're going to create. And what does that look like? What does a repeat business strategy look like? It looks like a specific set of instructions and ways for your marketing team or yourselves on how you're going to ensure people repeat purchase from you on an ongoing basis. It might be as simple as a contact plan where you're continually contacting these clients. It might be you set up a regular direct mail. It might be you set up a regular email. It might be that you set up events to re-engage with your customers and make sure you continue to build relationships. You know, whatever you create, I want you to have a repeat business strategy in your business because I know that will help you to become more successful. So please get a repeat business strategy formalized for your business, or come and see us at one of the live events where we will go through that with you, we'll coach you, we'll help you to get that in place. Rule number 19, there is only one boss and nobody is indispensable. Okay, so this could be viewed as controversial, but you know, I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to tell you how it is. You know, that's one of our USPs. I'll always be honest with our clients and tell them exactly what I feel they need to know to help them succeed in business. And let me tell you, if you've got your staff or your employees telling you that they can't, that you can't do it without them, that you can't succeed without them, that, you know, you're never going to achieve as much success without these people as you would on your own, I want you to understand that that is an ultimatum, a threat, or a leverage from somebody, and we don't tolerate that in our business businesses. You're the business owner. You created this enterprise. You made it work. You've gone through the tough times. You've built your business. It's about you. It's not about the team. The team is very, very important, but everybody is replaceable. And you might have some, you think, oh my God, if they left, it'll do so much damage to my business. You know, I'm afraid. I don't want that to happen. Let me tell you, when somebody leaves, often there is a better person around the corner that can come in, that can add more value, that can help to make sure that your business grows on an ongoing basis. So don't be afraid. Don't tolerate ultimatums. Don't tolerate threats or leveraging from anyone. It's important that on an ongoing basis, you know you're the boss, no one's indispensable, and you don't allow anyone to tell you that, to make you think that, that you can't survive without them, because I'm telling you, you can survive and thrive without anybody. Everybody's replaceable. Nobody's dispensable. Rule number 20, train everyone. That comes down to everyone in your business, whether it's the receptionist, how they answer the phone, whether it's the cleaner, how they clean. You need to make sure your expectations are abundantly clear throughout your business. This is how we want things cleaned. This is how we want the phones answered. This is how we want our clients dealt with. This is how our marketing materials go out. I need to make sure that you are on your business, making sure everybody is trained. You also need to be training yourself on an ongoing basis. You should have a training budget in your business that improves your team and your organization. Anybody that doesn't improve in your business will be outgrown by the business, because you are going to be building an amazing business, because I know you're going to be implementing those rules. And if the people in your business are not growing, your business will outgrow them. You'll get too many customers and clients for them to handle, therefore they won't continue to add value. So let's train our people, let's train our staff. Train staff, do not leave. Let's create an environment of growth for everybody, so they know they're part of an exciting business that's going to make waves in your industry or your niche and create amazing results. So let's make sure we train everybody in our business. Rule number 21, devise your culture, set rules and expectations. Now, if you don't set the culture in your business, your staff, your key people, they will set the culture. And I'm afraid bad behavior, you know, going against the rules, all these sorts of things can creep in, and anarchy can creep in if you don't set your culture. So I want you to set the culture around the right reasons in your business. I want you to make a note of this. I want you to make sure you do. We need to make sure that we are looking after our clients. We need to make sure our employees are helping each other. We want a culture of teamwork, of growth, of innovation. We need to keep a company identity that believes in these things and that believes in growth. And I want you to review your culture yearly, and maybe it's that time right now that you should be reviewing your culture, because a culture drives a business. If you get the wrong culture, it will drive your business into the ground. That's not why we're here. We're here for business wealth and success, and I want you to set and devise a culture that makes sure the right decisions are made in your business, the right environment is created. Okay, don't just sell the dream, sell the reality of how you will accomplish the dream with everybody's involvement towards that helps you to get there. So devise your culture, set rules, set expectations. Rule number 22, control culture with workshops. Workshops are very, very important in business, and they've been invaluable to some of my businesses too. And it's very important to create that culture and control it with workshops. Now, a workshop is getting your team together, getting your key staff, your departments together, and workshopping all different topics. Now, you can run a workshop on how can we improve our business, how can we make our business better. You can create a workshop on how can we create more wow moments for our customers or our clients, how can we make sure that our staff are more efficient at their job. Think about the things that are going wrong. You remember I said about the complaints department, the trends being there. Look at the trends, bring it to a workshop, get all your staff involved in the solution, and you'll find that issues start to get resolved very, very, very quickly. You also need to make sure you thank your staff for their contributions and implement the best ideas. When you start implementing your staff's ideas into your business, being there on the ground floor, you're going to find your own business improves immeasurably. They'll be thrilled to contribute, and you'll be thrilled to get the growth that that provides your business. So make sure you control culture with workshops. Rule number 23, eliminate anyone from the business who is resistant to change or culture. So eliminate's a strong word. I can see you know, you might be thinking, eliminate, that's a strong word. But the reality is that if somebody is resistant to change, you're going to have a growing business that continues to grow, that continues to change and continues to evolve. And if you've got people stopping that change from taking place, they're going to bring other people down with them. So don't be afraid to move these people on. But before you do that, explain the changes in the business. Explain how they benefit everyone, because the more communication you have with your staff, the better your staff will react to change will be. So make sure that you communicate, look, we're making this change because these are the results we want. This is what we want for our company. This is where we want it to go. And I want everybody to be on board with it. When you get bad eggs in the camp that are saying that that's a bad change, or this is not going to work, that's not going to work, you know, at first it might be a case of taking them aside or getting your managers to take them aside and have a conversation with them. But if it continues on, you're going to have to eliminate them out of the business, because your business is going to grow, you're going to get the gains, you're going to get the success. And in order to do that, you need the right people on the bus, not the wrong people on the bus. Okay, so eliminate anyone in your business who is resistant to change or culture changes. Rule number 24, invest in technologies that will grow your business. As a growing business, you're going to need good technology in your business. The bigger your business gets, the bigger the need for technology and the bigger the need to make sure that you don't get bottlenecks. Technology can make you more efficient. It can save you money on employees. It can speed up your business. It can streamline and automate your processes. It can give you amazing reports and stats. It can find you amazing ways to save time in your business. Now, we're talking about technologies such as marketing technologies that can allow you to communicate to more clients quicker, getting you better results. We're talking about having good CRM systems that can control your database and make sure you increase your repeat business on an ongoing basis. We're talking about systems that control your accounting to make sure that you get the right numbers on an ongoing basis. So do your research, find the tech companies that are going to help you to really grow and make your business better. And if you do this on an ongoing business, you're going to see massive growth in your business. You're going to see massive process changes that really allow you to develop and grow. Rule number 25, create a reporting structure. Now, reporting becomes, again, as your business grows, reporting structure becomes more and more and more important. And I want you to know that it's your guys, your managers, it's your staff, it's their responsibility to report to you the ongoing things that are happening on your business on an ongoing basis. So get reporting on your leads. How many leads have we added into the business? Get reporting on your sales. How many things have we sold? How many of our products or services have we sold off the leads that we generated? Get reports on your products. How many products have we created? Get workflow reports. This is what's happened on our workflow. Get cash flow reports. Cash flow reports is vital in any business. Cash is king. If you run out of cash, you die. So make sure that you get cash flow reporting in advance on your business so you can manage your cash flow on an ongoing basis and spot trends to make sure that you continue to succeed with a solid reporting structure. So rule number 26, get the stats. Stats reveal trends. Stats in 90 days will tell you what's happened over the course of 90 days. Stats in 30 days, whatever it might be, we need the stats in business. We need to understand what is happening. So let's look at things like productivity, conversions. Let's even get our cancellation stats. How many orders have you taken that have led to cancellations, and which of your salespeople or your advisors have been, you know, the people that have created those cancellations? What are the reasons that cancellations have why have those cancellations happened? You know, we can get the stats on seasonal calendarization. We need to look at the calendar. You know, for example, if things are down in December, and December is typically a bad month for you, we need to calendarize across the year and make sure that the stats are correct. As a business owner, you should be monitoring and making decisions based on the numbers, based on logic, and the stats as well. The stats will make for good readings. And I'll give you some examples. Let's think about things like SEO, for example. You know, when we're looking at SEO, we need to be looking at the stats. How many new organic visitors have we created? What pages are they visiting? You know, how long are they spending on particular pages? What results are we getting? What leads are we getting? What sales are we making? And I want you to look into everything. I want you to look under the hood at everything that's going on. And what that means is, it doesn't matter what aspect of your business there is, you know, it doesn't matter what aspect of your business you're considering. Let's look at the stats, let's go deep on the stats, let's understand what's happening and make sure we make improvements and decisions based on those stats. Look under the hood, look deeper, there's more knowledge for you to know, there's more things for you to see to make your decisions based on. Rule number 27, let's focus on the profit. So this rule has been coming for some time, but too many companies focus solely on growth in turnover and not on the profit. Your turnover is vanity, profit is sanity. We've heard it before, but it's very, very important. If you want to increase cash in your business, you need to make profits. You need to retain those profits to increase cash. The more cash that you can retain in the business, the more you can grow your business, the more you can create a better business. So build your profits, build your cash, build assets in your company. Make sure your company gets assets that can be used to grow, increase your balance sheet. And profit is the scoreboard of your business. It shows you whether you're winning or not. We've spoken a little bit about the scoreboard already, but profit really is a key indicator as to whether your business is succeeding or not. Once you focus on your profit and begin to build your net profit, you'll see big changes in your business. It's key to design your thinking and your staff's thinking around profit. So have profit targets for your salespeople, for your advisors, for the people that are creating your sales. Make sure you increase your profit on an ongoing basis. And remember, what's monitored and measured invariably improves, and what doesn't increases. So don't fall in the trap of not monitoring your profit, because this is a very important key indicator in your business. If you're not profitable, you need to address it immediately. You need to think about whether you need to increase sales, whether you need to cut costs, whatever it might be. You need to make sure that you stay in profit on an ongoing basis, because it keeps you in business. This is the order I like to address this in when it comes to profit. First and foremost, increase, improve and optimize leads and marketing to make sure that you've got more leads coming into your business, you've got more opportunities coming into your business. Then look at number two, increasing your sales conversions. Let's look at making sure that our sales are converting higher, whether we need training for our salespeople, whatever it might be, the sales conversions need to go up. Increase the effectiveness of our sales process via training or educating our staff on profit. Okay, number four, look at the costs of your product or service delivery, adapt them to become more efficient. Number five, look at cost decreases. Now, non-performing costs need to go first. Number six, look at decreasing staff if absolutely necessary to make sure that there is no wastage. But whatever you do, make sure that you focus on the profit. Rule number 28, use meetings to instruct, coach, and guide. Now, meetings are vital in business, and when I coach my clients, I show them how to set up a very effective meeting strategy, how to maximize their meetings to get the best out of their staff and their departments. I can show them how they can grow their business in over 100%, you know, in a very, very short space by using meetings to inspire, guide and coach their staff. So make sure that you're meeting with the key players in your company, whether that's marketing, whether it's accounts, whether it's sales, whether it's your recruitment, whatever it might be. Get meetings set up, monitor what's happening, measure that, monitor and measure the profit, and make sure your improvements come from your staff and make sure your business is growing. And the best way to do that is to monitor using meetings. When I have meetings, one of the things I like to do is make sure that people bring new ideas to the table, and I want those ideas to be around. How can we improve sales? How can we decrease costs? How can we make this business better? And you can get every single person coming to a meeting in that mindset, you're going to have a great business. So discourage "have you got a minute" meetings. That's no good. People knocking on your door all day long saying, "have you got a minute? Have you got a minute? Have you got a minute?" You can't get anything done. You'll never have any minutes. So make sure you have a proper schedule. The staff get proper time with you, the key players get to have the time with you to discuss and go over things, and they bring new ideas to the table, and we get new results by using meetings to instruct, guide and coach. Rule number 29, split the company into departments and get percentage gains. Percentage gains is very, very important. On our Business Masters course, we cover this in great detail. We show you how you can get small percentages all the way through your business. If you look at people that play golf or tennis, they understand that improving their game in a small area makes massive, massive compound effect gains. And I want you to get massive gains in your business. Now, if you split your company up, and let's say you take your company, you split it into 6, 7, or 8 departments, and you instruct that department, I want to make sure your department improves by 10% a week. That department's going to be 120% better by the end of the year. If you do that in all your departments, how much of a better business are you going to have? So show your people how to come up with ideas, how to look after their department, how to get small percentage gains and improve every area of your business on a weekly basis, and challenge them on to improve. You know, challenge your staff, challenge your managers, improve my business in this area by this percentage every week. You're going to have a fantastic business. So make sure you split your company into departments and have percentage weekly gains. Rule number 30, always be raising funding. It amazes me when I coach businesses and they're saying they have cash flow issues, and it's often because of a lack of funding. Now, it's an old saying in business also that you have to speculate to accumulate, and funding's vital for any business, and there's lots of funders out there. So many people like, oh, I can't get funding in my business. I can't find ways to grow my business. There's no options for funding. Let me tell you, there is. In every single industry, there's different types of funding, so you need to make sure you study what's your industry funding type, make sure that you know, you build a very, very good picture as to why you should get funding, build relationships with the banks, the finance companies, with investors on an ongoing basis to make sure that you get the right funding and you continue to grow your business. Speak to industry colleagues with bigger businesses and find out what lenders they use, you know, or get into a network where you can meet multiple business owners that can open new doors and avenues for you. And you can find out a bit more about that on Wealth Life Network or Big Business Events. We have exactly that, where we help business owners to grow their businesses and get new funding. Make sure that you're building relationships and relational capital with people on an ongoing basis. If you build your relationships, you will be able to build your capital, you'll be able to get new ideas. But most of all, make sure you're always raising funding in your business. So rule number 32 now, expand then consolidate before expanding again. In a fast growth business, there's always the danger of overtrading. And what we need to do is, when we're expanding our business, we need to expand it. We need to make sure that sales are increasing at the same rate as our expansion. Make sure that our costs don't overwhelm us. Make sure we stay in profit. We're creating profits before we look to expand again. If you continue to expand, and your sales teams or your new branches or your new operations or your new web presence doesn't produce in the right way, you need to make sure that you consolidate, you wait for the sales to match your expansion, you get back into profit, you make sure your profits continue to grow before you expand again. Overexpansion is a killer of businesses. And as an ambitious business person that's listened to the rules and that's starting to implement in them in your business, I probably at this point, you're going to become pretty successful in your business. I want to make sure that you start to avoid some of the dangers that can derail you. So make sure that you expand, consolidate before expanding again. Rule number 33, keep your eyes on the cash flow. Now, we've said it a little bit earlier, but cash is king. You know, if you haven't got cash, you need to think about cash as being the blood in your business, the blood that flows through your business. Now, if you run out of blood, you die. And if you run out of cash, the same thing happens in business. So make sure you monitor the cash on an ongoing basis. Make sure you monitor the cash flow. Never have the same person making the payments as doing the bookkeeping or the bank reconciliation. You need two lines of protection in your business, and you need to protect your cash. So make sure that you know, some simple things that I do is I make sure that I've got banking on my phone. I check my banking in all my businesses, you know, very regularly to make sure that I'm looking at the numbers. I also get reporting on an ongoing basis to understand what our cash position is. So make sure you get cash reports, keep your eyes on the cash, keep your eyes on the cash flow to make sure your business is never in danger. Rule number 34, always be branding. You've got two brands. You've got a personal brand and you've got a business brand. And your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. Your name should mean something. Everybody's name should mean something. And if you're a business owner and you're looking at your personal brand, that is something that cannot be replicated. You are your own USP. Your word is your bond. Your reputation is your bond. And you need to make sure you've got a brand that says something about you. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger said it, Everybody should understand marketing, and the super successful should know how to market themselves. So do you know how to market yourself? Do you know how to market your business? Do you know how to create a compelling brand? If you don't, it's something that I want you to start paying attention to, because branding is going to be the next level for you in business. And you can look at our Brand Yourself product as well on the product section of the Adam Stott website. So rule number 35, always be innovating. Think differently. If you think differently, you'll come up with ideas that allow your business to grow. You need to not think inside the box. You need to not think outside the box. You need to throw the box away. You can stand out with innovation. Your thinking should always be, how can I make this better? How can I turn things on its head? How can I bring this into my business? Always be innovating. Always be thinking differently. You know, make sure you study business. Make sure you study what other people's businesses and other industries as well, and make sure you're innovating in your marketplace on an ongoing basis. Rule number 36, find a positive in every negative. Even when something goes wrong, it is not the end of the world. Adversity is there to help you build resilience. And you have to think about business and your business game. It's a bit like being a weightlifter. The first day you pick up the weight, you can't lift it. You lift it every day, you start to build that muscle. And we've got to build our business muscle. We've got to build our mind muscles and make sure we're positive on an ongoing basis, you know. So make sure that you find positives in any negative, and make sure that you don't get derailed. If people got bad thoughts, people think the industry's bad, people think the economy's bad, unless they're an expert that you trust their opinion, they're more successful than you, don't listen. Rule number 37, take jealousy as a compliment. Now, the more successful you become, the more jealousy you will face. And as somebody that's listened all the way through this, I know that you're going to be successful. I know you're going to create success in your life. And you will have to put up with some people being jealous. But at the end of the day, jealousy is just a compliment. You know, it's the highest form of compliment, and you need to take it in that way. I know it's very, very difficult, but there's a few little things that I want you to do. Make sure public battles are a no-no. You don't need to be arguing in public. You don't need to be disagreeing in public. Your brand, your reputation will say all that it needs to say. So don't get involved in any arguments, and take jealousy as a compliment. Rule number 38, build assets, build cash, and build intangible assets. So we've talked about building cash. We understand the importance of building cash. You need to build assets in your business. The more assets you have, the stronger your balance sheet, the more your business is going to be worth. And you need to be looking at building your intangible assets that raise the value of your company. So I would say our Facebook following with one of my businesses is 380,000 people. That is an intangible asset. It's got a value to a business. If I was to sell my business, that would play a part in the value, because we can communicate with a lot of people. Your database is an asset. Make sure you're building your database on an ongoing basis. So keep building your assets, keep building your cash, and keep building your intangible assets. Rule number 39 would be get a coach. We spoke about coaching earlier. If you have not got a coach yet, and I appreciate you might have listened to this all the way through, and you have, then fantastic. You need to have a coach. If you get a coach, you'll be able to improve on an ongoing basis. You'll be able to answer the questions you need to answer when the questions come up. Business is a sport, an intellectual sport. Business is a game. It can be tough. There are going to be days when you're down. There are going to be days when you're up. But I want to make sure that your mindset is always up. I want to make sure you're always ready for the fight. If you want to succeed in business, it's a war. You need to be a gladiator, and we want to make you a gladiator. We want to make you tough, and a coach will help you and will be able to advise you. When things go wrong, they can set you on the right path. When you've got something you're not sure whether you should do, they can make the decision, help you make the decision based from their experience. And in that case, you're not going to make wrong decisions. You're going to save money. You're going to save time. So getting a coach is going to be something that's very, very, very important to you. Or at least make sure that you're getting coaching from events or trainings on a regular basis, so you can continue to grow and continue to explore and create successful businesses. And rule number 40, prepare for exit. So we've got to the end. If you've followed my rules, you've created a captivating, compelling business, and you need to be thinking about what is your exit strategy. When you leave this business, what do you want to do? Do you want to IPO it? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to leave it for an inheritance? But Whatever you want to do, make sure that you understand that exiting a business requires a strategy. So know your industry key indicators, know your industry average multiplier. So what is your net profit? What will be the multiple of the net profit that you can get for your business? Think about the type of buyer that you want to attract. Often competitors are the people that buy businesses for acquisition. Think about what business could you potentially sell to, you know? And don't forget about public offerings. There's another way to exit your business, but stay in your business and get a large sum of cash so you can continue to grow yourself and your personal wealth. Whatever you do, make sure exiting becomes a key consideration in your business. So we've got to the end of my rules, and I've got to say it has been an honor talking to you, getting to know you a little bit more and sharing these rules with you. And I can't wait to meet you personally. I know that being somebody that's finished, that's listened all the way through, you're the type of person that goes to the end, you play full out, you go all in, same as myself. I know that you're going to be a super success. I want to help you on your journey. We've got the Wealth Life Network, which is going to allow you to get more key lessons on an ongoing basis. You need to make sure that you go and subscribe to that, or if you are able to can't become a member of Big Business Events, because that will be where you can meet so many business owners that can help you grow on an ongoing basis. And you've just got to think, would you be more successful as a one man on your own, a business gladiator, or would you be more successful with 200, 300, 400, 500 business owners behind you supporting you? I know that I'd rather have an army with me to succeed in business, make the right contacts, and that's got to be another rule. Your network is your net worth. I want to increase your net worth. I want to help you to become a super success. So I look forward to meeting you in person. Thank you very much for listening to this audio. I hope that it helps you to achieve your business dreams, and I hope to be seeing a lot more of you very, very soon. My name's Adam Stott. It's been an honor. Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you very soon.